be seated. I love that. Proclaiming the victory. We hold the high ground. We're fighting from a position of victory. So when those attacks come against you, from whatever source, just remember, God is with you. He is fighting for you. And nothing can stand against Him. So way cool. Welcome this morning. Whether you're here physically or else here online, just maybe feel God's presence as we worship today. As we worship Him, we're glorifying Him. It's all about Him. But one of the side effects, one of the benefits, one of the byproducts, if you will, is that we get to experience His presence. And that is so cool, to just genuinely experience His presence as we gather to worship Him. So I pray that you'd feel it this morning and that these words would speak to you. So let's start with His word.
Today's first reading is from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 5. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The second reading is from 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 to 13. Above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation." But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. The day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. Here ends the readings.
Please stand if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel is found in the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Any children that want to go to children's church during this time, feel free. Lord, thank you for this opportunity once again to gather in your name and in your presence as your people. who you have called. Lord, speak to us through these words. Speak to our very spirits, that we may become more like you. Amen. All right, through our Advent then, we've been talking about being prepared. The theme is in living with your bags packed, just ready to go at any time. Whether he comes at any time, which could happen, or else he calls us away at any time. If you're ready, you can live in peace. You can live with hope. You can live with confidence. We do not grieve as the rest of the world does. We do not worry as the rest of the world does. If you've accepted Jesus, your future is secure. So today then, we're hearing about being prepared as well. We start out with Isaiah. When you think of the prophets, you think of someone, I don't know, maybe in a robe and this beard, and they're just preaching gloom and doom and warning people, right? As you read through the major prophets, the minor prophets, it's always about warning people. The day of the Lord will come, right? And people, okay. Oh. And then correcting Israel, where they turn from God and his ways. We see that happen all throughout the Old Testament. There's a turning and repentance and a turning and repentance. And this may reflect our own lives too, where we've had turning away from God, repenting and coming back. And he is always, again, welcome us to come back. No matter how far prodigal we've gone, if you repent, he will take you back. I'm glad we serve a God like that, a God who's loving. Just imagine if he wasn't. Yeah. Okay, so we are lucky in that. We have good fortune in that. And we thank him for that. But here, the prophet is speaking a little bit differently. This is not gloom and doom in this chapter, at least this part of it. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Tenderly, not harshly, not warning, like we associate with the prophets, but tenderly. And proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed. The sin has been paid for. And she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. That last part could be taken a couple of ways. But yeah, tenderly saying, hey, I'm here with you. I'm willing to take you back. And of course, Israel has strayed many times. But God has a covenant promise with Israel, which still stands today. Even with Israel and their struggles now, God stands with her. If God makes a promise, again, it's going to happen. There's no two ways about it. He is faithful. In the next section of this reading, we see some foreshadowing. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley should be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground should become level, the rugged places a plain. Okay, John the Baptist right here, okay? We got prophecy. And this is going to happen. And it did, right? He was in that wilderness, out there with the camels, hare, and the locusts, and the wild honey, but making a way for Jesus. He set the scene in baptizing people at the River Jordan. He called people to the baptism for repentance, and then Jesus came along and took it from there. So he's preparing. It was all about preparation. That's what John the Baptist did. And making a highway for our God. You think about going through the wilderness, you know, up and down hills and around obstacles and things like that. But then when you have a highway, nice level ground, flat, easy going, what a blessing. How efficient. It'd be nice. I mean, a lot of times I was in the military, we were not dealing with highways and level ground. You're always out in the worst possible terrain. If land is not good for anything else, hey, we'll set it aside as a military base, right? Okay. And if you can, you know, train there and survive that, you can handle anything else. It'll seem easy. But yeah, making this highway for our God. That's just a really cool image. I love that. And this is written way back, 700 BC? Yeah. The Romans would come through and make a lot of highways here shortly after this, of course. Or not shortly after, but around the time of Christ. But those highways that the Romans made, it enabled the gospel to spread. Because trade routes had been established, and there were these beautiful roads that they had made, and aqueducts and everything else. And the timing of that, the Greeks had come through, they created a common language. It was the language that everybody knew. They knew several, but Greek was the one that had spread everywhere after Alexander the Great. So we had a common language. And then the Romans came and built transportation routes, and this is all prepared the way then also for the spread of the gospel. When the church started, we had a language to spread it, and we had ways to spread it, and it all just sort of came together. I mean, that's sort of cool, the way that happened. This preparing, then, is not only in the world, but I would suggest that it's within us as well. During Advent, we're preparing for the return of Christ, when he comes back again in glory. And it's, you know, preparing the people around us. We proclaim it, as Isaiah did, but also preparing within. Do we still have high places? And like that last song we sung, Victor's Crown, every high place must be torn down, right? It must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken. And Jesus can do that within people. Still does. Many of us have had high places and strongholds, other things that have, you know, filled our lives until we come to him. Those things get torn down. We see the effects when that grabs a hold of someone. And maybe it's drugs for one person. Maybe it's pornography for another. They've got these things that just grab hold of them. These spiritual things. And spiritual things cannot be fixed with physical means. We don't have a pill for this stuff. We can't cut you open, remove it, and sew you back up. Oh, it doesn't work that way. These are spiritual. And it requires spiritual tools, deliverance ministry, things like that, where people can achieve freedom. If you still have some of these high places or these things in you that are getting between you and God, ideally it's going to be a level highway, that highway between you and God, you know, and straight distance between two points, or shortest distance between two points is a straight line, of course. And we should have this highway to God. We have that earth since the curtain was torn, where we can connect directly with him. Don't let things get in your way. Sometimes that highway needs maintenance, doesn't it? Okay, we all know about potholes. We all know about road repairs. We live in Minnesota, right? Construction season in winter. And it could be that way with us, too. If we don't maintain our highway, we're going to have obstacles. There's going to be cracks. They start out as a crack, maybe, but if you don't fix it, it's going to widen. Starts out with a missing piece of concrete. If you don't fix it, it's going to get bigger. And again, we can't fix this with asphalt. This requires spiritual fixing. Spend time in the Word. Spend time in prayer. Spend time with others. If necessary, seek help from others as well. There's no shame in that. None. There's quite often a stigma about that. Someone going to receive counseling or something like that. No. There is no shame in that. These are wonderful tools that are out there available to heal. And when God's working through it, better yet. How much better? That's like you look at recovery programs for those that are suffering addiction. You got, you know, a somewhat good success rate in a lot of them. Then you look at like Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge, which has a strong spiritual component. Their success rate, head and shoulders above the rest. You ever get a chance to support that organization? You've heard their choir. They came and sang here one time or at the community center. We co-sponsored that with Hope Church. It was beautiful. And the testimonies that those people have, how they have experienced freedom and deliverance from addiction. It's beautiful. God broke down those strongholds within them, created the level paths. Again, they need to be maintained, though, as well. Isaiah's reading for today finishes, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And if God has spoken, it's going to happen. The glory of the Lord will be revealed. It was revealed in Bethlehem, but it will be revealed again when he comes back. Not coming back as a baby this time, but coming back in glory to set all things right. And we get to be a part of it. As we learned last week in Thessalonians, that dead in Christ will be raised first and will accompany him to grab those that are still alive and believers and bring them up with him. So either we're still alive, we're part of it, and if we're dead in Christ, we get to come with him and be a big part of that surprise party and that reunion. It's just going to be a beautiful thing. And it's going to happen. Again, if it's stated in Scripture, and this is many, many places that Jesus is coming back, we know that it's going to happen. We've heard about in 2 Peter today as well. And things have not changed, perhaps, a whole lot from the time of 2 Peter here, written in the 60s A.D., compared to today. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come scoffing and following their own evil desires. They'll say, where is this coming you promised? Everything just goes on as always has. Okay, maybe they're dealing with that. Are we dealing with that today? Are there people that are scoffing at us as believers? Absolutely, okay. Go online, read some social media type things. Some people need some help. And I would encourage you to overcome evil with good, not to respond, don't repay evil with evil, right? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Let him deal with that. But pray for these people and do what you can to reach out with loving kindness. That's going to speak louder than typing words back at them, right? Reaching out with loving kindness. It's what they need most. So scoffing, saying, oh, this religion, you know, this God you believe in, and it's your devotee of this ancient religion that brings back Star Wars 4, you know, I find your lack of faith disturbing. Okay, for those of you that's familiar to it, it's great. But following their own evil desires, right? They're the ways of this world. You look at God's way, and you look at the way that culture and society and everything is going, okay? It's straying big time, just like it was in the Old Testament. Needs to be brought back somehow. To do that, how? Hearts have to be changed. We can try to do it with media and speaking, and that's great. You know, stand firm. Stand for what is right. No doubt about it. But pray that hearts will be changed, that individuals will come back to God's way and align with it. But so many just want to state what they believe is right, ignoring what is truly right. So stand firm, of course. And God is patient with these people, right? That's what follows here. Do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. 1,000 years are like a day. Okay, God's time scale is not like ours. He has all the time in the world, all the time in the universe. He created it, okay? And the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Giving everybody a chance to turn their lives around, like we sang this morning too. Turning lives around, to come to repentance. Again, to repent is to realize deep down within that what you're doing is wrong, and to turn back to God. Repent. Something that's not taken seriously today, repentance. It's a life change. Realizing that you're doing wrong, saying, okay, God, I screwed up, I realize it, I seek to follow you with all I am, and then turning your life around, you know, letting him turn it around. There we go, there yet. We play a part in it, but again, the Spirit working in the heart, turning it around. And that one line there, he is patient with you too. I love that. I think of my rebellious youth, and maybe some of you can identify, he was patient throughout all that. He was. And he eventually led me to be a pastor of all things. Wow, that was unexpected. But hey, that's him. So, he is patient. He's a patient God. Willing to give second chances, third chances. You know, as long as you're drawing breath, you still have a chance to repent, or anybody does. We hopefully have, those that are sitting here. If you have not, I invite you to do so. Get square with God. Alrighty, so we know that everything is going to be destroyed with fire, it says here. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. It describes it in Revelation 21. It's going to be a beautiful place that we get to experience. So all this is gone. Okay? You think you've seen where a hurricane comes through or bulldozers or something like that? Yeah, the whole earth is going to be. But there's something better coming. So since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? How should we live? How should we respond? How should we be prepared for this? You ought to live holy and godly lives. Live out your faith. Don't just say your faith. If you put a survey out there to people and you're asking them, you know, what are your things, what do you, you know, maybe your age, your sex, and well, these days, who knows? But all these other things, and they ask you, are you a Christian or Muslim? A lot of people check the box on Christian, right? They identify as a Christian. But here we're talking about, you know, being a Christian, living it out, being a follower of Jesus, living a holy and godly life. Your life should reflect it. It's not just a box you check on a survey. Yeah, I'm a Christian. No, your life should testify to it. The way that you interact with people on a daily basis, what you do, what you say, how you live your life. That should define you, that you are a Christian, that you are loving one another, that you are being there for others, that you are helping and healing others, however God wants to use you. and doing this as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. We look forward to it. We look forward to it. Can't wait. Again, we get to be a part of it one way or another. We are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, it says, the home of righteousness. Revelation 21 just gives us a brief description of that. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. This is John speaking after it had been revealed to him on the island of Patmos. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, yes, and there was no longer any sea. Interesting. I saw the holy city and the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. His presence directly with us, living with us. Beautiful. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. All things new and all things perfect, right? The earth was created with perfect intent. We had the Garden of Eden. We had everything going right. Sin enters. Okay, everything turns south there. But here, it's restored to perfection. And we get to be a part of that. Way cool. So are you ready for this? I know I am. Again, we're going to meet Jesus one way or another. Either when he comes the second time or else when we are called to go meet him. So we have to be ready. We have to be ready for the journey. We have to be living with our bags packed, is the way I describe it. So as we do this, think about packing for a journey. Okay, as I've said, I'm infantry, so I pack light, okay? I don't bring a whole lot of stuff, just what I need. Don't believe in packing a lot. But if you are packing for a journey, what are you going to bring, huh? Well, you know, a change of clothes would be nice. Nobody wants to smell you when you're not. You could arrange your rolls, some shirts and things like that. We can have some nice shirts ready to go. Okay. Right, Ron? He's a Harley guy. I got to tease him. Okay. All righty. So, yeah. But when we're preparing for this journey, are we going to need clothes? No, we're not. Okay. God's going to provide. Other things we pack, I always like to pack snacks. Here's some venison jerky I made. I mean, good snack. All right, gotta love it. Do we have to worry about packing the snacks? No, we don't. We don't. All righty, other things you're going to pack, you know, the toothbrush. Well, is there going to be tooth decay in heaven? No, Tim, you're out of work as a dentist. Sorry, you're going to have to pick up a new career. I don't know. You know, God's got another calling for you perhaps, but you don't have to worry about toothbrush. Things like deodorant, no, we don't need it, okay? None of these things. And, you know, maybe you go on a trip, oh, I forgot to pack deodorant, I got to go out and buy it. Yeah, don't worry about it on this one, right? No, it's not going to be a deal. Everything you need will be there. God has prepared a place for us. Yeah, we're preparing during Advent, but John tells us in the Gospel that he's prepared a place for you. Once you accept him, that place has your name on it. It's prepared for you. And that's humbling. And it's going to be a perfect place. It's going to be a wonderful place. Don't have to worry about packing bags, okay? You don't need to bring anything. Because God's got it. And if he's designed it, you know it has to be good. That it'll be perfect. So what do we pack? Well, the gospel talked about storing up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Don't worry about storing them up here. Store them up there. How do we do that? Well, we don't need to bring anything because everything's stored up there. It's all ready to go. But storing up treasures in heaven. The Lord will reward. Now, we don't do this to get the reward, okay? We don't give in order to get. It's not that prosperity thing, all right? But by living in his ways, by being kind to others, by being caring and compassionate and following in the ways of Jesus, you are storing up a reward in heaven. And again, we don't give to get. It's not all about getting a reward. That is not the motive for doing these things. We love because he first loved us. So by being kind, by living out your faith, by treating others as Jesus did, by being compassionate, you are indeed storing up treasures in heaven. So, as I've been saying all through Advent, live with your bags packed. ready to go at any time. Like the Minutemen in the Revolutionary War, you had your backpack and your rifle, right, musket right next to the door. You're just ready to grab them and go. Because we could be joining him at any time in one of two ways, either him coming back for us or else us being called to meet him. So don't, if you have believed in Jesus, if you've accepted him as your Savior, your bag is packed. You are ready to roll anytime. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to fret about it because you're prepared. You are ready. And it's a beautiful thing. So going on a trip, we all are, sometime. Look forward to it. It's a beautiful thing. Keep your bags packed. And the cool thing about it is if you've accepted him, you have reservations in place. These reservations can't be canceled by anything or anyone at all. God is good. Amen.